I don't know about you, but it seems like an incredible number of people are experiencing loneliness right now. Whether it's because of social distancing and self-isolation, or just the chaos of the world around us, it seems that people have this extraordinary sense of feeling alone. Now, for some of us, this might be the most alone that we've ever felt, while for others, maybe you have some experiences with abandonment and rejection that have caused you to feel alone. Maybe as a child, somebody abandoned and rejected you. Maybe as a teen or young adult, there was a relationship with a loved one where you were just sort of pushed to the side and you felt like you cared for that person, but they no longer cared for you. Whatever the amount of loneliness or whatever the situation, I think it's safe to say that we've all had moments where we feel alone, whether it's because we're truly by ourselves or we just feel lost in a sea of people. We've all experienced it in one way or another. But especially at this time right now with all the stuff going on with coronavirus, I think many of us are experiencing loneliness in a unique way that's true to this situation alone. And so today I thought I would share with us some words of abandonment and loneliness found in Scripture. And in doing so, I want to offer you, and more importantly, I believe God wants to offer you some hope for this situation. I believe that God wants you to know that you are not alone. Jesus himself, as we read in Scripture, understands your loneliness. He understands what it feels like to be abandoned. And so today we are going to look at the Scripture where this all comes together for Jesus and how we can know that God truly is for us. Today we're continuing on in our sermon series, His Last Words, looking at the 7 statements that Christ made while he was hanging on the cross. These are difficult words, but they're powerful ones. Today we're looking at the 4th statement, which is the longest saying that Jesus makes from the cross. These statements, though, are really important, and I think particularly because of the context in which they are spoken. Of course, Jesus is dying, and our last words, hopefully, are the most important words that we ever speak. But the circumstances under which he is dying make speaking incredibly difficult. As someone was crucified with nails in their wrists and in their ankles, they would have had to pull up to catch a breath because the weight of their body slumped on a cross would squeeze the air out of their lungs. So they would have to pull against flesh, tendon, bone to raise up enough to grab a breath and to even be able to speak. And so this was not a time for insignificant words, but only words of importance if you were to speak at all. The words that I'm about to read to you, though, are not words that we would typically hear Jesus saying as we read his story throughout the Gospels, but they're only found here on the cross. These are words coming from our Savior who was heartbroken as he was being crucified. Here he expresses a deep anguish, loneliness, and sense of abandonment. If you've got your Bible, turn in it to Mark chapter 15, verses 33 to 34. As you do that, let me remind you that we're in the story of Jesus' crucifixion we are. So he's gone through these hours of interrogation and trial. He's experienced mockery and torture. And then at 9 a.m. one morning, Jesus was placed upon a cross and he was left there to die. In the first few hours hanging on the cross, we see that Jesus says and does some pretty incredible things. At first, we see that he asks God the Father for the forgiveness of those who don't really know what they're doing in crucifying him, in mocking him. Then we see that he goes on to offer forgiveness to a criminal who is crucified beside him, one who, in fact, when he first encounters Jesus on the cross, mocks him, but then turns to receive forgiveness from Jesus, and Jesus tells him that he will indeed that very day be in paradise. Then we see that Jesus offers important words about relationship to some friends and family who are gathered at his feet. And now as we arrive at Mark chapter 15, verse 33, we're 3 hours later. This is what Jesus says and what how scripture reads. It says, at noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. And at 3 p.m, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, Ali, Ali, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? Now, these verses start by telling us that a darkness had covered the whole land, which is quite interesting because, as we know, this is the Middle East at midday. Between noon and 3 o'clock would have typically been the hottest and brightest times of day. But this darkness seems to envelop the whole land. This would have been a scary thing to experience. It would have been so out of the norm that people would wonder what's going on. Now, I don't know how God chose to do this, whether he simply made it cloudy enough to block out the sun or whether something else is going on. What we do know is that God is in control of these things, and it seems like God is sending a message. I heard one pastor say, it's as if God obscured the sight of what was going on because for himself and those close to Jesus, watching him die was the most painful thing. And so in the darkness there, Jesus hung. And Jesus feels the pinnacle of loneliness here, and he says that he is abandoned. Now, Jesus has been progressively abandoned, as we've read throughout the gospel. First, he's rejected by the religious rulers, the elite of society. Then Judas, one of his disciples, rejects him. Then we see the community around him, his closest disciples, run away scared when he faces what will be his last hours. But the most intense loss for Jesus happens in this moment that we read about on the cross. As Jesus takes on the sin of the world, his relationship with God, the Father, changes. He's now on his own. For the first and only time since eternity past. Up until this point, Jesus has always been bound to the rest of the Trinity. He is God. And so Jesus is always part of this triune God, the Father, the Son, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. But there on the cross, with the weight of sin, the weight of the sin of the world hanging from his shoulder, Jesus experiences distance from God for the first time, and to an extraordinary measure. One of the things that I find interesting is that this is the only time we read about in Scripture where Jesus just calls God, God. My God, he says. Typically, as you read through the gospel, Jesus has such a close relationship with God the Father that he always refers to him as that, my Father. But something else is going on here. A change has taken place because Jesus, in this moment, is living and dying as a substitute for you and I. When I think about that torture that Jesus was enduring as he's carrying the spiritual weight of all people for all of time, both now and for the future, not only is his body broken, but also his body, or his heart and his spirit, are breaking on the cross. There's so much more going on than meets the eye, though, as Jesus says these words. He's not just expressing what's on his heart, but he's also quoting Scripture. The words that Jesus speaks, my God, why have you forsaken me, are found in Psalm 22, verse 1. Now, Psalm 22 is a prophetic psalm. It's a psalm which reveals the plan of God centuries before Jesus ever came to earth. And what's powerful about these words that Jesus spoke is they would have been a trigger in the mind of those who were gathered around to think about what he really is saying. What Jesus is saying is that God is there. He's up to something. There's a why behind the situation besides the fact that some people had turned Jesus over for death. What we see is that Jesus is speaking to a crowd of biblically literate people who would understand the context for these words. So let me read them to you from Psalm chapter 22, verse 1 to 3. The psalmist writes, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, so far from my cries of anguish? My God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer. By night, but I find no rest. Yet you are enthroned as the Holy One. You are the one that Israel praises. On the cross, Jesus is separated from God for the Father. He is forsaken for a reason. That reason is that God is holy. A holy God is one that is perfect, that's blemish-free, one that is good and always right in every single situation. And therein lies the problem. Therein lies why Jesus is on the cross. Because God is holy, and you and I are not. So Jesus was crucified. He was forsaken so that people might be received by God. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 13, I like the way the New Living Translation says it. It says, "But Christ has rescued us from the curse pronounced by the law. When he was hung on the cross, he took upon himself the curse for our wrongdoing. For it is written in the scriptures that cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. Through Christ Jesus, God has blessed the Gentiles with the same blessing that he promised to Abraham, so that we who are believers might receive the promised Holy Spirit through our faith." God has told his people all along that there's a cost for going against him. There's a cost for doing what we call sin. And the price that needed to be paid for sin to be wiped out was a life. Someone had to die to pay that debt. And so God, out of his infinite love, came to die in your and my place. As a perfect sacrifice, as one who had never done wrong, as one who had never even been in the slightest disconnected by God, God himself substituted in our place on the cross. You see, your and my salvation is free to receive, but that doesn't mean that the cost was little. The cost was immense, but it was all paid for by God. You and I, all we have to do to be saved is to put our faith and trust in Jesus, in what he accomplished on the cross. If you're watching this today and you have yet to receive God's love and forgiveness, if you have yet to experience what it means to be connected to a God who loves you, if you are experiencing loneliness in the uncertainty of life, wrestling with what has gone on in you and around you, then I would urge you to look to Jesus. He's died for you so that with putting your faith and trust in him, that you could have a new life, a new connection with him. I'd urge you today to receive God's love for you. Put your trust in Jesus. Choose to receive God's forgiveness through his substitution on the cross. Now, if you'd like to receive Jesus today, I'd encourage you to pray along with me wherever you are. God, thank you for sending Jesus to die for me. Thank you for offering your love and forgiveness for me. You say in your word that if I acknowledge that Jesus died for me, and I acknowledge that he was raised back to life for the forgiveness of my sins, If I accept him as my Lord and Savior, the one who I will follow with my life, that I will be saved. So God, today I acknowledge that, and I choose to follow you, Jesus. Thank you for giving me. Thank you for giving me eternal life with you. Amen. If you prayed that prayer today, I'd encourage you to reach out to us or someone around you who knows and loves Jesus. Because part of accepting and receiving what Jesus has for you is taking next steps in a life experiencing all that he would have for you. Just because we can't be connected because of everything that's going on and we can't meet face to face doesn't mean that we aren't here for you. And so we'd love, if you're watching this live, for you to just comment in the chat section on the screen and just tell us that you want to talk to somebody about your next step, that you receive Jesus and someone will follow up with you right away. If you're watching this later on in our sermon archive, then I'd encourage you just to reach out to us by firing us an email to office@emmanuelonline.ca. In that email, just tell us that you have decided to follow Jesus and just include your email or your phone number, and we'll have someone follow up with you within 24 hours to help you in taking your next steps of following Jesus. While we can't be together, we still pursue the same mission as a church, to lead people to be passionate followers of Jesus, because we believe he is worth it because of the great work that he has done. Now, for all of those of us who are followers of Jesus, these words are powerful, they're incredible, they're difficult words to hear, but the question is, what should we do with them? Well, today I would say that there's two things that these words should burn in our mind. The first is the message that we are never abandoned or alone because God is with us. Jesus was abandoned. Jesus experienced loneliness on the cross so that we could have a sustained and life-giving relationship with God. God is present with you or I no matter what time of day, no matter what situation we're facing, and he will be there. He wants to hear from you. He wants to speak to you. You know, one of the things that I find when I am most alone in life, when I am feeling down or by myself in something, what I find really helpful is to spend time reading God's word to hear from him. And then I like to respond by worshiping through song. And you know what? As much as I believe that that is an opportunity for me to just praise God and acknowledge him and thank him, and I believe that he appreciates that I'm communicating with him, as much as it's for him, I also receive such a great benefit because it reminds me that God is accessible, that he's personable, that he is there for me in everything and wants to have a relationship with me. If you're feeling a sense of isolation, I'd encourage you to find ways to connect with God. Read scripture, sing songs of worship, practice one of the spiritual disciplines that we've talked about in church as we did our Grow Deeper series a few months ago. Jesus was lonely on the cross, so you don't have to be lonely today. Now, I know the reality is that a lot of us sit there and we think, yeah, but I try. I read scripture and it's just like reading words on a page that, or one thing comes in one ear and goes out the other. Or we think, you know, I pray and it just feels like I'm praying to the walls or the ceiling, or it's just like I'm talking out into space. You know, in that sentiment, when we can be lonely, what's easy to happen is to blame God. But I would like to push back on that and say that it's not God who has failed. It's us. When we feel distant from God, when we feel like we are deadened to his presence, I would say it's because of our sin. It's because we have something unresolved between us and God. And it's not unresolved on God's part. God has already sent Jesus to die. Jesus, as God himself, has already paid the price. So it's unresolved on our part. When we sin, it's like us driving an axe wedge into a piece of wood. It breaks it apart. It puts distance between us and God. Now, as believers, our sin never fully breaks that relationship, that connection between us and God, but it does deaden the sensation of his presence. I believe that it drowns out the sound of his voice in our own heart and mind. So if you're feeling in this season of isolation that you're also isolated from God, I'd encourage you to look for what is standing unresolved between you and him and turn it over to him. Give it to him. Offer it to him and say, Lord, take this away from me, and recognize that Jesus has already paid for it all. The second thing that Jesus' cry of abandonment and loneliness should do is serve as a reason to reject temptation and sin in the midst of loneliness. For most of us, temptation becomes rampant in seasons of loneliness. For example, when I look at lonely people, I often see sins like lust, anger, and pride start to flourish within their life. You know, anger and pride, they flare up because during our seasons of loneliness, our minds just seem to run wild. Maybe that's because we don't have others helping us check our thoughts. We don't have someone to bounce things off of. But maybe it's because when we're alone, our hurt becomes amplified. Or it's easy in those times of being by ourselves to look at others and to compare. And because it's at a distance, it's really easy for us to just sit and look at them, to become judgy about them, to become condescending. And so as we put them down in our mind, we become proud and arrogant. When we read Scripture, Jesus warns strongly against anger and pride. He says these are two of the most destructive things in a believer's life. These things don't only grieve God, but they hurt others and they hurt us as well. Likewise, in loneliness, another thing that runs rampant is lust. You know, one of the major online porn distributors just a couple weeks ago announced that it has seen an increase of traffic rising by 11.6% worldwide, and that's because people are confined at home because of the coronavirus. In some places like Italy and Spain, there has been website traffic increases of over 50%, 57 and 61% in those cases. When people are lonely, and this is both men and women, we turn to places that will give us something temporary, some pleasure that replaces this sense of loss and isolation and loneliness. And for many people, that means that they will turn to pornography. In his book, Finally Free, Fighting for Purity by the Power of Grace, Heath Lambert writes this. He says, this is a vicious cycle. Lust has what it wants because it never has enough. Lust steals joy by creating an endless state of discontentment in the constant search for that one next thing that you just don't have. Lust is never happy, because lust is never full. But it's not just lust. It's anger, it's pride, it's loneliness. These things run rampant in our lives, and the things that we throw into there that are not of God just end up intensifying that feeling of loneliness. It can bring shame, which causes us to isolate ourselves for emotional reasons, not just the physical ones that we face today. But what I think is scary is not just the fact that these things hurt us, but these things have hurt God. The sick conditions of our heart, the things that and places where we have rebelled against God, are what held Jesus to the cross. They're the very reason why Jesus experienced abandonment. Because in those moments, the Father turned his face away. And in that moment, Jesus took it all for us. The torture that Jesus went through was for the forgiveness of what you have done and will do. Now, I don't say this to beat us up, but instead I provide this as a reason to fight temptation. We should push against temptation and sin because of our love of Jesus. Instead of letting loneliness lead us to sin, we should use it as an invitation to remind us to pursue a deeper relationship with God. God loves you immensely. Jesus died for you as the proof of that. And in fact, every sin you have has been paid for already. So won't you receive it? Won't you respond to him in love and kindness by doing the things that are right when we face loneliness? Lastly, let me challenge us. Let me encourage us with this idea that there are people who are isolated around us, but we have the answer to that, the good news of Jesus. Right now, many people in your life are terrified. They're lonely. They're isolated. Some people have been abandoned by their friends and families. Maybe they've lost jobs. Perhaps they're just spending hours being consumed by the media reports that are telling us horrendous things. There's others who, when they were at work or at school, that was the only place they had any connection, and now they sit by themselves, just longing for one meaningful relationship. Let's use this time as an opportunity to speak into those individuals' lives. Let us use this as an opportunity to serve those around us. Let's extend to them the one who suffered abandonment and loneliness so they do not have to. Let's bring the good news, the hope, the life-giving relationship of Jesus to others. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for what you have done. God, we recognize that you are a holy God. Jesus, we thank you that you were willing to come to earth as fully God and fully man and experience what only you could experience. That you were the substitute for our sin. That you faced the suffering, the loneliness, the sense of abandonment, so that we could have a life-giving relationship with you, so that we could have your Holy Spirit live within us. God, I pray for everyone who is watching this that feels lonely, that they would turn and receive you. For those who have not received you before, that they would turn to you, that they would accept you for the first time, and God, that you would fill them up and speak to their deepest needs, to the darkest places of loneliness, and that you would bring light and life to those areas. For those of us who are experiencing loneliness, who know you, God, I just pray that we would remember that you are with us, that you are present in every moment, that we have a connection with the God who loves us, and that we would take a hold of this opportunity in this season to grab onto that and grow in our relationship with you. And Father, I pray that we as a church would do such a great job meeting the needs of people, not because we're really meeting the needs, but because we're bringing you who will meet the needs. God, I pray that we would be great agents of hope, that we would be people who speak against loneliness and darkness and bring light and life. God, empower us to see those in our community who need you most and show us how we can lead them and guide them to you. God, we pray this all in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.